always we ought to be grateful for another day of life, another opportunity that we could assemble together to worship God in spirit and truth. It's always good to be with those of like precious faith. I appreciate you being here, especially those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. We hope that you feel welcome and comfortable among us and that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. I was really encouraged by the Bible class this morning, your participation in it, and the good questions and comments that were asked. And our Bible classes are a place where we really get to grow and really get to listen to comments that other individuals make and questions that are asked, and it just helps us to grow and grow. And so if you're not coming Sunday mornings or Wednesday night, I really want to encourage you to come and avail yourself of those two opportunities to grow. We can all benefit from those Bible classes. We're in Acts chapter 2 Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings. We've been talking about some things that we can study with others and hope to convert them to Christianity, to help them become a Christian and go to heaven when life is over. So I really appreciate the Bible class this morning. I also want to make mention that these sheets will be out in the back when the service is over. So you need to pick one of these up and fill it out before Wednesday night's Bible class. And it's just a very simple question: why the Church of Christ? And I'm asking you to put in these blanks as many reasons as you can as to why you should be a member of the Church of Christ. And then, Lord willing, we'll study that, see what the Bible says Wednesday night. If you haven't done so already, I encourage you to read the 4th chapter book of Jonah. That's our lesson tonight. We're going to have one of two lessons beginning tonight and then next Sunday evening. Two lessons from the small book of Jonah, major lessons from the minor prophets. So be sure to read that chapter. This morning I want us to continue our study of Bible roads taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Appreciate the good job that Ray did in reading the scripture reading, his willingness to do that, and the good job that he did. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This morning I want us to talk about the broad way. We live in a religiously divided world where folks don't get along religiously speaking. They don't speak the same thing. They don't obey and practice and observe the same thing when the Bible all along says to speak and to do the same things. A lot of passages talk about that. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, 1 Corinthians 1, 10, Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. And a lot of other passages talk about the importance and necessity of being unified, but yet the religious world's not that way today. And it's not God's fault, because He's given us His Word that we've just simply got to read, study, believe, and obey. So we can't say that it's God's fault that people don't get along religiously, that people don't believe and practice the same thing. But the reality is that there are a lot of different things of which you can believe. And people will say it doesn't matter, as we talked about last week, it doesn't matter what you believe so long as you are sincere about it. But the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, the Bible says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. And here the Bible talks about two ways. A way that leads to life eternal, and only few there be that find it, and a way that leads unto destruction, eternal damnation, and many there be which go in thereat. And so I know that there are but two ways of which I can be walking, on the narrow way or the broad way. All roads don't lead to heaven. And this passage teaches us that. What way, by the way, are you on? As you think about Bible ways and Bible roads, what road are you walking? The narrow way that leads unto life, or the broad way which leads unto eternal destruction, damnation? I want us to talk this morning again about the broad way. First of all, the Bible says that it is broad. It's a path of which are little to no restrictions. Now think about that. If you're not a Christian, you don't have a lot of restrictions. Now sometimes folks say, I don't want to become a Christian because being a Christian, you can't do anything. How would you respond to that? Well, there are things of which God says that we cannot do. But I want to assure you that there are plenty of things that as God's people that we do, that we must be busy about doing. Like in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, when Paul said, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Be not again entangled with a yoke of bondage." Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8 and in verse 32. We are free or at liberty to study our Bible all we want to. We are at liberty to do good unto all men, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, all we want to. We are at liberty to pray without ceasing all we want to, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. We are at liberty to rightly divide the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. We are at liberty, free to provoke unto love and to good works, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. We are at liberty to love our brethren all we want to, John 13, and in verse 35, and the list goes on and on. So we are at liberty to do a whole lot of things. But yet, the narrow way, and we'll talk about the narrow way that leads unto life next week, is a restrictive way. We can only be as broad-minded as the narrow way and no broader. Did you ever think about that? When folks say you're too narrow-minded, we can only be as broad-minded as the narrow way allows us to be. But this morning we're focusing on that broad way. It's a path of which there are little to no restriction. You can do anything you want to and it doesn't matter. You know that there are many in the religious world that would even have you believe that. Well, preacher, I've never heard of any. I just began doing a series of lessons on the Sunday afternoon radio broadcast in response to a lesson that another fellow had done on once saved, always saved. That is a path of little to no restriction. If I could tell you this morning that once you become a Christian, there is nothing you could do to lose your eternal security, your salvation, there's little to no restrictions. You can do anything that you want to do. And a lot of people believe that. It started, didn't start with John Calvin, but he propagated it. Hence it's called Calvinism. There's five tenets of it: total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints, or once saved, always saved. And just about every major denomination believes some or all of those tenets. Once saved, always saved. Total depravity, you are born a sinner because of what Adam did. The Bible doesn't teach that. That Jesus' atonement on the cross is limited to only those who God had predestined to be saved in the first place. The Bible doesn't teach that. He died for every man, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It's a broad way with no restrictions. It's a way of worldliness. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. When you think about the ways of the world and carnality and worldly minded and licentiousness and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, there's just a lot of things you could put in that category. And you think about it. Murder, drunkenness, reveling. The Bible says such like. And the list just goes on and on. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality. You just name it. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The broad way is a way of which individuals practice all the works of the flesh. Like are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, if you want to turn to that passage with me, and notice what Paul points out in Galatians chapter 5, begin with verse 1. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these?" What are they, Brother Paul? "Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Now watch this. Here's a kicker. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no way, it's an impossibility, for one to practice these things and go to heaven in the after while. Now you can go to heaven if you turn from these things and obey the gospel of Christ. We've got many examples of that in the New Testament. It's kind of like you read in the book of Judges, chapter 21 and in verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. You know the rest of that? But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That could be commentary on our country today and around the world. No standard do people uphold but that which is right in their own eyes. We've got the standard, divine truth, the Bible. And our society will not be any better. We need not expect it to be better. So long as we transgress the commandments of God and go further away from God, it'll never be better. Only will it be better when we do what God would have us to be doing. So it's a broad way. But also the text points out that it leads to destruction. The Jehovah's Witness would have you to believe that that's annihilation. That if you're lost and when you die, you're just going to cease to exist. Annihilated. The Bible doesn't teach that. Now the Watchtower Tract Bible Society propagates that. I've got some of their writings upstairs. In fact, one of them I've shared with you along the way is a little book that's titled, Is This Life All There Is? And in that book, they state that the concept of eternal hell and a soul that will exist beyond the grave is not sustained by Scripture. Somebody's not been reading the Bible. Now, they may have been reading some other books, but they've not been reading the Bible. When the Bible talks about destruction, that's not talking about annihilation or a ceasing to exist. Now, it may be talking about a loss of well-being, and certainly being cast into the lake of fire is a loss of well-being, but you continue to exist. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, that judgment scene, a culmination of the book of Revelation, here he's been talking about the persecution. Half the book of Revelation is devoted to what's taking place in this life, and then half the book of Revelation about is talking about behind the scenes spiritual warfare. And it's a book that is given to a persecuted people of God in the first century. Seven churches of Asia, seven churches of Christ in Asia, to get them to see the importance of being faithful today. And that judgment scene that is pictured for us in Revelation chapter 20, beginning verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was annihilated. You know better, don't you? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I wonder how long that was. How long that's going to last? You know, the Bible answers that. In Matthew chapter 25, those on the left, remember when all nations will be gathered before the Lord when He returns? And as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats, He would put the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. And to those on the right, He would say, Come, you blessed my Father. But those on the left, He would say, Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting punishment, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then the last verse of Matthew chapter 25, verse 46 says, These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. How long is that punishment? Everlasting. How long is heaven? Eternal. Synonymous one with the other. Heaven is just as long as hell is, and hell is just as long as heaven is. Everlasting. Eternal. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9 talks about when the Lord comes back, He takes vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and listen to Him, who shall be punished with temporal? Catholics would have you to believe that. Go to purgatory and you'll suffer for a little while till you come out of it. Who'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I don't want to go there, do you? But if you're here this morning on the Broadway, that is, you're not a Christian, that's where you're headed. That's where you're headed for all eternity. I'll give you one more passage. That if you ever study with someone who's a Jehovah's Witness, you need to know this passage. You need to know all of these. Revelation 20, 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and Matthew chapter 25, and then I bring you to Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, verses 44, 46, and 48. Mark 9, 44, 46, and 48. There's a statement that is made that knocks the props out from under the false teaching of annihilation or a ceasing to exist beyond the grave for those who are lost. Where the worm dieth not and the fire, what's the rest of that? Is what? Not quenched. The worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's eternal. The Broadway that leads to destruction will end up in a place the Bible calls hell for all eternity. Number 3. The text points out in Matthew chapter 7 verse 13, many there be which go in thereat. You can't do what the majority of people are doing and expect to go to heaven when life is over. I'm sure you're aware of that. Someone may say, well, look at so-and-so down the road. There's hundreds of people that go there. The parking lot is crowded. Standing room only. They must be doing something right. Not necessarily. The way of the majority is not right. How do I know that? Because many will be lost, few will be saved. So I know that the majority will be lost, and few there will be that find the right way. In the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 23 and in verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And then you think about Israel. Maybe God set His love upon Israel because they outnumbered everybody. Maybe they were the majority and therefore God loved them. Separated them unto Himself out of everybody because they were the majority. You know what Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7 says? God didn't set His love upon you because you were more than anybody, but because you were the fewest of all people. Again, Deuteronomy 7 and in verse 7. The majority doesn't establish religious truth. It is established by what the Bible says. So the Broadway is a way of the majority. But I want to give you several, 13 in total, things concerning the way of the Broadway. One is the way of the majority I just mentioned to you. Number 2, it's the way of the unrighteous. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, be not deceived, or know ye not, rather, he says, that the unrighteous will not enter into the kingdom of God. God, be not deceived, neither, and he lists several things that are wrong, of which some of the Corinthians were guilty of doing. But he says, be not deceived, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, the broad way is the way of the unrighteous. Number 3, the broad way is the way of false teachers. But preacher, I thought it didn't matter. You didn't hear me say that. It does matter what you believe. In fact, when Peter was writing in 2 Peter chapter 2, notice what he stated concerning this very thing. 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Well, if there's false teachers, then evidently not every way is right. And so the way of The broad way is the way of false teachers. And the Lord said in Matthew 15, 13 and 14, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. But also the broad way is the way of unbelievers. Unbelievers are going to be lost. Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you shall die in your sins. John 8 and in verse 24. And Hebrews 11, 6. The Hebrews writer penned, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if you're a non-believer, you don't believe, oh, I don't believe in all of that, then you're on the broad way. We don't want you to be lost. We want you to go to heaven when life is over. But also, not only is it the way of unbelievers, it's a way of the disobedient. I mentioned to you already 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, who will He take vengeance on them that know not God? We'll double dip on that verse. Those that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. Not those that disobey, but all those that obey Him. And we need to know that. So the broad way is the way of the disobedient. It's the way of the unrepentant, those who will not turn from the wrongdoing. Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Have to repent. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3 and in verse 19. But it's also the way of the unprepared. We know that there's a coming day of judgment. And I've said from this pulpit before, and I'll repeat it now, we make a lot of preparation for things that might happen. Now think about that. You have car insurance, not just because the law says you have to. We'd probably drop it, perhaps, if we didn't have to have it. But nonetheless, we have car insurance in case we get in an accident. You have fire insurance in case your house catches fire. You have flood insurance in case you get flooded. You have burial insurance, life insurance, in case you die. Well, you know you're going to die. The living know they shall die. Ecclesiastes 5:9. We know those things. We have health insurance in case we get sick. And we know that we're going to die. We know that there's a coming day of judgment. And the vast majority, perhaps billions and billions of people, are completely unprepared to meet God in the day of judgment. The broad way is a place of the unprepared. And you read examples of that in Matthew 24 and Matthew chapter 25. Specifically, I'm thinking about Matthew 25 with the 10 virgins. I just finished a lesson. Not preached it yet. I finished it a couple of weeks ago or so on 10 lessons concerning 10 virgins taken from Matthew 25. Five of them wise, five of them foolish. The five that were foolish because they were unprepared. And the door was shut. And they didn't get to go in. Don't be unprepared. But also, the Broadway is a place, is a way of the unconcerned. In Matthew chapter 25, those on the left, Jesus said, I was sick, you visited me not. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. Naked, you didn't clothe me. You didn't feed me. Thirsty, it didn't give me drink. Lord, Lord, when do we see Thee in this position? And as much as you've not done it in the least of these my brethren, you've not done it unto me. The broad way is the way of those that are not concerned about other people. Too many times we're selfish. And we think it's only about me, myself, and I. And if I cannot stand to benefit from it, then I don't want any part of it. Don't be that way. If you do, if you are, or if you end up being that way, you'll be on the broad way. But also, it's a place of the evildoer. In Romans chapter 2, verse 9, when Paul was writing to the saints at Rome, he said, he penned this, recorded in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 9. Tribulation, or let's back up to verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul, a man that doeth evil, the Jew first, and also of the Greek or the Gentile. The broad way is the way of the evildoer. It's the way of the ignorant. people that don't know. Now, I understand that there's a lot of things that we don't know till we're taught. But a lot of people remain in their ignorance willfully. It's still no excuse. I think about Acts 17. God winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. They didn't know about the God of heaven, and Paul declared God unto them. As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God, whom you therefore ignorantly worship. Ignorance just simply means void of knowledge. Him I declare unto you. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, those that obey not the gospel, and who else? That know not God. You see the importance of knowing, as well as Acts 17:30, and the passage I mentioned to you in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God wants you to know. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 4 that God would have all men to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. If you don't know, you'll be ignorant, you'll be lost when life is over, beyond the Broadway. But also, the Broadway is a way in which those outside of Christ are walking. Either in Christ or out of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 talks about those who have died in the Lord, inferring that there are those who die out of the Lord, and those who die in the Lord we don't sorrow for, even as others which have no hope. And John penned in Revelation 14:13, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Who? Those that die in the Lord. And so if you're outside of Christ, you're on the broad way. And only one way to get into Christ, to be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and Romans chapter 6. But also, it's a place, it's a way where those outside of the kingdom are walking. When Jesus comes back, He'll deliver up the kingdom to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. The kingdom is the church, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. We are in the kingdom when we obey the gospel of Christ, being delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13. John said, I'm your brother in tribulation and patience and in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Revelation 1. And in verse 9, if you're here this morning, you're not in the kingdom, the Lord's church. You're on the broad way. One more point. The broad way is where the backslider walks. We mentioned to you about those who think it's impossible to fall from a right relationship with God. One of the lessons we're going to bring forth as we talk about Bible roads is the road back home. And we're going to talk about the prodigal son from the book of Luke. Why on earth have a parable concerning the prodigal son who left the father, went to a foreign country, or a place away from the father's household, came to himself and came back? Why have that parable if it is impossible to leave the father? So we'll talk about the way back home before we close out this series. But Peter penned in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 20, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you catch that, by the way? You escape the pollutions of the world through knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You may be here this morning once obeyed the gospel, but you turned from the Lord and you went back out into the world. You're on the broad way. And you need to come home. You need to hasten to obey. Sometimes we sing the song, hasten to obey. The broad way, it's broad, leads to everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. And many there be which go in thereat. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we'll talk about the narrow way. Why is it so few people find the narrow way? We'll talk about that, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. So think about that before we come back together next Sunday morning to hear that lesson. Maybe you're here this morning, not a Christian. Why not be preacher, what must I do to be saved? You do what they did in the Bible to be saved. Never change. What made them a Christian will make you a Christian. Nothing more and nothing less. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it. Mark 16:16, repenting of your sins. Luke 13:3-5, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. And being baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what they did in the Bible, Acts 2:38, to be added to the one church you do read about in the Bible, Acts 2 and then verse 47. You want to go to heaven? You want to get off the broad way and onto the narrow way that leads to life everlasting? Maybe you're here this morning and you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord. You want to come home. You want to be restored and once again be in a right relationship with God. You can. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. Be like the psalmist declared in Psalm 119:160, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Don't hasten to obey. Come right now.